Might have a few people who forgot to set their clocks. However, it's almost time to begin. There we go. So let us begin. As we start, I'd encourage each one of us to breathe deeply. Know that you're in a safe space, that you will receive whatever it is you need to receive this morning. And that we welcome all beings who are part of this process of growth, evolution, stretching. That probably around the world there are many, many little groups like this that are meeting on Sunday mornings or various other times. With the sole purpose of becoming more and more aware of the truth of who we are. And I find it very consoling to realize that we are not alone. So, with all of that said, welcome. I'm going to begin on page 359. Just a reminder, we're coming to a close with this book. Not sure whether that's going to happen this week or next week, but we will be moving on to another volume of Paul's called The Book of Innocence. And both Margot and I agreed that it seemed like it's a good fit for this material. And you don't have to be tremendously compulsive about going, well, we need to get this book, we need to read them in order. Let go of it. Presume you're in the right place at the right time, doing the right things for yourself and for the world. The world as you know it has ended. Thank God. And we will say this intentionally. The new world that is born as you in your truth will support all in their lifting. You are the vibration, the way, and the knowing. As Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So are you. I say that to remind you of who you are. You are the vibration, the way, and the knowing that you require. The knowing that you require will be brought to you as you require it. That's a great thing to remember. You don't have to worry about what tomorrow's lesson is. Or get all the information about tomorrow, right? Today,
America exorbitant the privilege of owning the world's reserve currency, which has allowed it to.
Well, hello. Whoever you are. And you might need to mute yourself. I'm sure who that is. Sounded very sure of himself. As I was saying, I like that line. The knowing that you require will be brought to you as you require it. You don't need to worry about it getting something. I don't need to worry about what's the lesson tomorrow. Am I going to get it? The information you need, the knowing that you need, the realization that you need will be supplied to you when you need it. Here we go. On this day, I agree to be in service, fully realized in my knowing of my divine nature. You know, as I was putting a sermon together this week, it's on being awake and being aware. I felt like we were in a very interesting place in our culture where being woke or being awake was not a very good thing. I still don't quite understand that, but it seems like some people believe that one, and I just kind of wonder, what's that? Are we enjoying being asleep? I had that song go, "It's like I've been sleeping for years." It's in every one of us. Bought my ticket, only watching half of the show. On this day, I agree to be in service, fully realized in my knowing of my divine nature. And as I say yes, I am handed a paper that will hold to my heart. And this paper, on this paper lies the instructions that I will require to honor and to be through as I require it. I understand that by holding the paper to my heart, I accept a symbol of my own knowing, of my heart's worth and motive and agreement for realization. And I support myself in this engagement as I need it and as I will need it to be called forward in service. So, I mean, the image of holding a piece of paper, it gives us a little bit more of a physical reality. Can you imagine you're holding a piece of paper with that message close to your heart, rather than just kind of imagine it's in my heart someplace, making it actually part of this physical world that we live in, which we're not throwing away. We're actually working with it as we can. And it might be an interesting exercise right now in this moment to ask yourself, what is it that my heart needs in this moment? The answer I got a moment ago is my heart needs reassurance that I'm okay. That's just me. I'm not quite sure what your heart is saying to you. That's what mine's saying. I could use some extra oomph in making sure that I'm okay. Old story. Just reminded me of it. When I was first beginning the path of recovery from addictions, I was living with four other brothers who actually did an intervention on me. This is before I got into AA. One of the guys who was one of my brothers in this home that we were living in, his name was Louis. Louis was about 6'7". Louis came up to me one day in the midst of my being lost, wherever I was lost at, and kind of looked down at me, because, I mean, that wasn't a bad thing. He had to look down at me because he was 6'7". And he said, "How are you doing?" And I said, "Oh, I'm okay." And he looked at me and he said, "I'll never forget these words." He said, "I don't think you know what okay feels like." I don't think you know what okay feels like. Never forgot that. Talk about waking me up. I don't think you know what okay feels like. And he was right on target. Perfectly true. I support myself in this engagement as I need it, and as I will need it to be called forward in service. Service is mentioned a lot in this book. And that doesn't necessarily mean becoming a doctor or a nurse or even a volunteer worker in a 360 or a volunteer worker at a shelter or something. I mean, it could mean that. But a big part of our service is prayer, holding others in the light, holding ourselves in the light. So it doesn't have to be necessarily an activity that connects us with the outside world, but it can be. Whatever. Some people are good at different kinds of service. The introvert that I am, my service work involves much more inner work, holding others in the light, prayerfulness, quiet, meditative practice, rather than actively involved in something outside of self. But now some other people, because the world, I think, has a lot more extroverts than it has introverts, probably would be called maybe to service work, doing something physically outside in the outside world. That's perfectly okay, whatever works for you. But don't negate the service work that you are being called to do, because everybody can benefit from that. Everybody. We will listen to you now, and we will honor the questions you may hold as you ask us. The light that you are is a freedom. It is not bound by time. The consciousness you are has its freedom and is not bound by time. And the questions that you may ask as you go forward in your journey will be heard and answered in ways that may surprise you. We will listen to you now. Let's pause a question. What if this teaching, he says, appeals to the lower nature? I am wary of any teaching that could appeal to lower nature or tell us we are special. Understand, friends, that you are this frequency. As you have been reunited, you are manifested well above that level of choice. You have agreed in fullness to become who you are in your awareness of union, and that is the promise of this text. The small self cannot wave a flag to this elect being. She knows who she is and will not be tampered with. So understand, if you would, that the divine as you holds all safeguards to allow herself to rule. The divine as you understands the small self well, but she runs the show now as she says yes, and as you have agreed to your union. He has another question. We will take it in a moment. Again, we have a distinction between higher consciousness, lower consciousness. We don't throw lower consciousness out. But what I would say was, yeah, you're all special. You're all unique. But you're unique in a special kind of way. It doesn't make you any better or any worse than anybody else does. And what we're being asked to do, I believe, this morning is to embrace our uniqueness. You are a unique expression of divine consciousness. You always will be, you always have been. Right now, we're bringing that awareness to consciousness. I am a unique expression of divine consciousness. That's with my personality, with my ego structure, with my physical body, with my awareness, with my past, and with my future. I am a unique expression of divine consciousness. Or you could flip that around a little bit. What would it be like if you weren't? What would it be like if you picked up a book and said, you are not a unique expression of divine consciousness? Would you feel any objection to that? Then wait a minute. I've been studying this book for years. It says I am. I am a unique expression of divine. Ah. So it's not as puzzling as you might have thought. Somebody comes in to you, you are not a unique expression of divine consciousness. Well, wait a minute, yes, I am. See, there's part of you that already knows that and has known that all along and has never needed any other reinforcement because it's always been there. His other question. What becomes of us now? What does it mean to be this? What are we? Is it finished? Is it done? Once I become realized as a divine child of God, is it over? Is the trip done? Do I graduate? You are the divine self as you. You have always been this. You have been unmasked in some ways in your agreement to the top of the mountain peak. You've dropped your disguise. It no longer fits. The mask or the disguise you've been wearing, your perception of yourself, no longer fits with the truth. You can still hold on to it if you want to, but it's not going to be as, I don't want to say this, it's not going to be as attractive as it was. So you could go back to thinking, well, I am not a unique expression of divine consciousness. You can think that if you want to. But it's going to be difficult to find a place for that to land anymore, because you already know it's not the truth. You make yourself visible, yes, to the high level of vibration that can only exist there, and visible to those below you, so that they may achieve their own ascension. That's really interesting. Visible to those below you, that they may achieve their own ascension. There's a book by Richard Bach called Illusions. He was one who wrote Jonathan Livingston Seagull, one of the hippie classics of the 60s and 70s. And in this book, Illusions is a parable. It's a parable about all these little crystal beings who are living in the bottom of this stream. And the stream is moving all the time, and they're holding on kind of for dear life because they don't want to let go. They're afraid of letting go. So they're living in this fearsome world that they live in and want to stay there. And all of a sudden, one of these little crystal beings decides that he's going to let go. He lets go and he gets battered and smashed up against some of the rocks, but eventually raises to a higher vibration. And as he raises to a higher vibration, he sort of flows over this field of little beings that are holding on to the rock. And little beings that are holding on the rock, look at that. Look at that. Someone's free. He must be the Messiah. And he says, no, I'm no more the Messiah than you are. All you have to do is let go. All you have to do is release. All you have to do is let go. Of course, they didn't listen. But this says, visible to those below you so that they may achieve their own ascension. Ah, I can become the Christ in my own awareness. So can you. Here you are on this day again questioning, what does this make me? Now, what do I do? Please understand, friend, that those are the questions of the small self. The small self questions the divine knows. There's another profound truth you can underline, put a star next to, highlight if you want to. Very simple, very direct, very true. The small self questions, the divine self knows. Carl Jung was doing a radio interview one time, and the announcer was trying to get at sort of the basic philosophy behind his work. Knew it had something to do with spiritual. And so he asked Jung, he said, do you believe in God? And Jung said, no, which caught this guy completely off center, right? But he rescued him. I don't believe in God. He said, I know. It's part of my being. It's not an idea. It's not a belief. It's not something that might or might not be true. I know. And what this book is suggesting right now is we need to claim that. I know. Stop pussyfooting around. Right? Stop pretending that you don't know. I know. I know this is, I might forget it. I might lose it every once in a while, but I know this as being my truth. The small self questions, the divine self knows. Go into agreement now. I know, I know, I know, and be still. Your answers will come. Let's just do a short meditation with that one. Not a closing one, but that strikes me as being tremendously important. So I'm going to suggest you close your eyes for a minute. Just allow yourself to be in a comfortable space. And sort of separate yourself just very gently from your small self-consciousness. And listen for a moment to all the questions it's asking. What about this? What about that? Am I going to know this any better with the next book? Next book, is the next book magic? Is it going to change my life? I still feel like the same person I always was. Is there any difference for me? Yada, 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 yada. Let it shatter away. But let it become like a voice down the hallway. Still talking, but you're just not connected to it anymore. The small self questions. The divine self knows. And allow yourself to be in tune with your knowing. Allow yourself to be in tune with your knowing. Where your knowing is at peace. Your knowing is not demanding. It is gentle and strong at the same time. And you might ask that same question we did right in the beginning of this morning's lesson. What is it that I need to know this morning? What is the message or the vibration or the energy from my divine consciousness that wishes to become more real? And just open yourself to that. If there seems to be nothing there, recognize that there's nothing more than I need to know at this moment. If it comes, the answer comes to you as a thought or an idea or a piece of poetry or a line from a song or a memory of another person or an encounter with another human being. However it shows up, just let it be. Let it teach you where you are. The journey is not ended, you see. If there were only one mountain to climb, it would be a lonely plain. You have ascended to a level of vibration through your encounter with us. And these words that will serve you well, but you don't get to sit back and say, well, I did it. What's the next thing to do? You say, yes, I am here. And you offer yourself in service to the good of the whole. We remember you as you were, as you are, as you will be. And we know who you are in truth at all levels of alignment. We remember you as you were, as you are, as you will be. And we know who you are in truth at all levels of alignment. They all exist. Who you were is sitting right next to who you are becoming. And who you were might have still have some things to teach you. We remember you as you were, as you are, as you will be. And we will know who you are in truth at all levels of alignment. There is no ceiling, you see. The mountaintop goes on and on and on in its own way. As you recover and reclaim your union, you are led by it. We will stop this dictation for the day, and we will say to Paul and Victoria, who will close soon. We will offer chapter titles as we are ready, and we will prepare this text in perfect ways for the reader to receive it. Please let us do the work that is required. We remind you of the authorship of this book. It is by those of us who claim themselves as I am. We are here, we are here, we are here. We will thank you both. Stop now, please. Does anybody have anything to throw out or question or look at or observe before we come to this last section? Okay. Yeah, John.
Always felt like it was Pinocchio.
Always felt like what?
Pinocchio. You wouldn't be a real boy. A real day during the meditation. And that longing was to be a real human and to realize the further my identity to being a real boy, a real person. That's my small self.
So what shifted for you?
It seemed like there was a chasm. Distance, a long way to go to be real.
Okay.
That divine self. I was always wanting to be a real, to be real, it was that small self.
I'm reminded of the Velveteen Rabbit, if you recall that story. The Velveteen Rabbit was a new toy that was given to this little boy. And he had a lot of older toys. And the toys used to come to life at nighttime when everybody else was asleep. And probably the oldest and most loved toy in the whole cabinet was a little guy named the Skin Horse. And the Skin Horse was so old, all of his fur had been rubbed off, and he became a little bit, one of his eyes fell out. And he's talking to this new toy, the Velveteen Rabbit. And the rabbit asks him, what is real? And the skin horse replies, the boy made me real years ago. He said, I became real through his loving me and my accepting his love of me. Doesn't happen all at once. Happens bit by bit, a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time. If you have ever had an experience like John, you look in the mirror and say, you know, have I really changed? Is anything really? I seem to have such a long way to go. And in the small self's consciousness, that's true. In fact, it's an impossible journey. There's no way to get there with your small self. The higher self knows that I'm already there in a way that I can't really define or can't really describe, but it's the truth. And see, even the fact or even the sense that we can ask that question tells us that there's something going on there that is beyond the thinking mind. I reflect on that quite often, of thinking or feeling or getting a sense of, I've got a long way to go. And yet again, there are moments in my life when I'm just there. Might be holding my grandchild. Might be seeing a movie for the umpteenth time that I really love. Might be reading a book. Might be just getting a hug from somebody that I really like and really love and really care about. And in that moment, instead of me pushing it away, I allow myself to accept it as deeply and as possibly as I can. How do I know I'm there? Might be another question. And again, as this points out, all of those are small self questions. They're not bad. It's not a bad thing. It's just that my small self is always looking for a question and an answer. My divine self knows. You come walking through that door on Sunday morning. You might think you don't know. Well, I'm going to be part of this class because I don't know. The fact is that I'm going to be part of this class because I do know, and my knowing needs reinforcement. And that's okay. Does that mean anything? Thanks, John. Day 26. Actually, I'm going to need to close. Not close, but probably need to do our meditation. Because I got to leave a little bit early this morning. And so I'll make it a little bit of an extended meditation. And we will pick up next week. So I'm going to ask you to find a comfortable spot if you're not there already. When I say that, I always look up and see a picture of BJ and Larry in this very comfortable spot by the window with the sun coming through and the plants all being there. You know, like, thank you guys. You help create that space for all of us.
I love that space as well, Jerry.
Cool. So let's take a moment, guys. And close your eyes, take a couple of breaths. And listen to those words again. The small self questions. The divine self knows. Maybe I could flip that around just a little bit to reflect on John's question again, too, and say, There are people in my life that I know I love them. I know there is, I don't question that love at all. It's always there. There are people in my life that I know I love. That's knowing. All we are being asked to do is to stretch that out a little bit more and saying, I'm going to put myself in that picture. I know I am an aspect of divine consciousness, a unique expression of divine consciousness. Even though I can't prove that to you, I know that that's true. And I know that nothing and no one can take that away because I keep showing up. Not just on Tuesday night and Sunday morning, I keep showing up for life. Because I know there is a truth here that I don't think I have completely absorbed. But again, that's my small self talking. If I know there are people in my life that I love, without a doubt, then I am attuned and I am aligned to my divine consciousness. And there is nothing that can take that away. The words of Jesus, I love you with an everlasting love. What would it be like to be able to take that in, absorbing it like a sponge? I love you with an everlasting love. Feel the resistance melting away. And what would it be like to pass that on to the people in your life that you dearly love and who love you back? I love you with an everlasting love. There's a space where there are no doubts, where there are no questions. I am whole. I am filled with light. I am perfect. I am filled with light. I am surrounded by the pure white light of Christ. Nothing but good shall come to me. Nothing but good shall flow from me. I give thanks. I give thanks. I give thanks. Deep breath. Stretch your breath. You can open your eyes when you're ready. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you, Jerry.
See you guys next week, if not before.
Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you. Peace.
Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you, Jerry. Peace. Peace and blessings.
Thanks, Jerry.
Thanks, Jerry.
Thank you, Jerry.